What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of The Factory Report. I'm Caleb Burlingame.
And I'm Luke Grenman.
And today we're going to be talking about the EMU women's golf team, as well as some of the new EMU women's basketball signings. This is The Factory Report. Luke, will you update us on all things EMU sports, please?
Absolutely. The men's baseball team postponed all games last week and will look to play St. Bonaventure next Saturday, May 1st. By the way, is that Bonaventure? Is that how it's pronounced?
I'm pretty sure it's Bonaventure. They were in March Madness this year, and I kept hearing people say it like that, but...
Okay, we're good. Men's golf is heading to the MEC Championship next Friday in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Men's and women's track and field is competing this weekend in the Gina Relays Invitation in Hillsdale. Women's golf competes in the MAC Championship this weekend, this weekend in Akron, Ohio. Women's rowing is competing against MSU this Saturday. Women's tennis is 10-3 and plays against Western Michigan today. And swimming and diving had our own Bethany Berger win two individual MAC championships. More on that later. But Caleb, right, this is no time for swimming and diving. This is a time for women's golf. So hit the people with what they want to hear, baby.
Real quick before you get through the quick news, I wish women's tennis was 10-3, but they're 10-13. Luke, you had a typo.
Oh wow, I cannot read.
You're good.
Okay. Hey,
so everyone out there, women's tennis is 10-13, not 10-3. I wish they were 10-3.
Yeah. I mean, like tomorrow, I'm gonna go to the eye doctor, gonna get me some new glasses, new contacts. So we won't have that as a problem anymore. But
anyway, women's golf.
Go ahead.
Yes, yeah. No problem, brother. So as we said in the quick news, women's golf is competing in the MAC title this weekend, which came as a surprise to me. I haven't really heard much about the women's golf team this year at all. I personally enjoy golf. I watch Rory McIlroy, Tiger Woods in his prime, stuff like that, but haven't heard much about women's golf this year. So we're going to give you a little bit of a season rundown, talk to you guys about how they did this year, where they place, and some standout players to look for in the MAC title this weekend. So they've only played 6 meets this year, and their season started a little over a month ago, Luke. Here's how they placed in their 6 invitationals. So the first one they played in, they got 31st at the Kauai Island Invitational, so pretty far down the pack. Their second one, though, they finished 3rd overall as a team at the Benbow Collegiate Invitational. Their third competition, they finished 13th at the Bama Beach Bash Invitational. Sounds super fun. And their fourth competition, they finished 12th at the Georgia State Invitational. Their fifth competition, they finished 10th at the Dolores Black Falcon Invitational. And last weekend, they wrapped up their season, finishing 2nd overall at the Akron Invitational last weekend. So, sort of a mixed bag when it comes to their season. They've played against a lot of big schools that are super talented down south. And they've had some good finishes when going against smaller schools like Akron.
Question. For a normal college golf season, how many meets do they have? Because they had 6 this year. Let's say, okay, you know, Uncle COVID goes away. How many meets would they normally have? Do you know?
I'm not sure the exact number, but I know that women's golf is usually a much longer season just because of the good weather. I know they normally play early March to sometimes late February because they go to these southern, like look at Kauai Island, Bama Beach Bash. They got to go down south because where it's nice. So normally a few more meets, I'm pretty sure. But the thing is here is that we have a hard time practicing year round because Michigan doesn't have good weather. But you wonder why Florida, Alabama, California, Stanford, while they're always great in golf, if you look at their school, is because they get to play year round and it's wonderful weather to get on the links every day they want to, which we can't do in Michigan. So I don't really blame the women there, but look at like all those invitations we went to were super high competition. And then when we finally play some MAC teams at the Akron Invitational, we finished 2nd. So that's given me some good indications for the MAC title this weekend. As we've seen with women's basketball, men's basketball, anyone can make a run in the MAC. Right. It's just kind of a crazy league. But I think they should have a pretty good chance. What do you think, Luke?
I mean, I like this. Now, obviously, you have to remember that they're going to these invitationals. They're not playing like, oh, we're going to play Bowling Green today. They're playing big schools. Like, you know, the Bama Beach Bash, we're probably playing against Alabama and other SEC teams. So to go from, you know, around top 10 finishers or so out of how many teams?
30-ish.
30-ish.
Like 30-ish,
so
yeah.
They're in the top third of all these national teams. And then they just absolutely crush it at the Akron Invitational. That does give me hope. One would, with simple logic, you can say, hey, you know, we might have something here. So we'll keep our eyes peeled. It'll be fun to watch.
Yes, it will. As mentioned earlier in the quick news, they are, like I said, it's the MAC title. So the participants for the MAC championship are as follows. Akron, Ball State, Bowling Green, CMU, us, Kent State, Northern Illinois, Ohio, Toledo, and Western Michigan. So pretty much the names that you normally hear at the top of the MAC in any sport. You see Kent State on there. They're always great. You see Western Michigan. They're pretty much great. Central Michigan. So a lot of these great MAC teams you're seeing here, a lot of great competition. So let's talk about some. What's up, Luke?
Well, I just want to say two things real quick. One, there's the haves and the have-nots in MAC. It's the way it always is. Second, if you had the chance, like this is kind of a rabbit trail, but I kind of want to talk about it. If you had the chance to go professional in any sport, golf would be like top three for me because
you don't
get brain damage. You're able to walk when you're 40 and you get to wear tremendous drip every single day.
You
have to play in great weather. And it's just like the richest, snobbiest thing on earth. What do you think?
I completely agree. And you can play till you're super old. So you can be making money your whole life. But yeah, if I had to pick a sport to go pro in, there's no contact. So you don't have to worry about any injuries ever. You're always playing in the best conditions at the best places around the planet. Oh, golf is so good. And you get paid millions and millions of dollars.
So much.
And also, Luke, you don't have to rely on a team. It's your performance. So if you mess up, you can only blame yourself. And if you're playing amazing, no one else can ruin it for you. So golf is great in that aspect.
I never thought
of
it that way. Really drives the ego. Now I like golf even
more. Now you know why golfers are so egomaniac.
I've actually never played golf except for like putt-putt when I was like 12.
It's harder than it looks. So that's something I'll
need to... Oh, I'm sure. Because, you know, you got Steph Curry on Instagram talking about people's swings. I'm like, there's probably more depth to just than what I'm seeing, you know?
Oh, yeah, completely. So these women, I'll hand it to them. It is not easy to golf. I got my own pair of clubs 2 years ago. They're pretty nice. And I still can't drive the ball worth a dang. It's so hard. If you want to get good at golf, you probably got to start pretty young. But two people I have highlighted on the EMU women's golf team to look out for. So I'm just going to be completely honest for transparency of the pod. We have one really good player, and then after that, it's pretty much a couple okay average golfers, and then the rest have had really tough seasons. We've had a few girls on the team not even compete in a few invitationals, but here are two I've outlined. I'm going to start with our team leader, Olivia Loberg. So she has finished top five in three different competitions this year, Luke. So half the competitions they were in, she finished top five individually. That's great. She finished second individually at the Benbow Invitational, and she's just the leader and the star of this team. Her stats are far and above anyone else's, and her finishes are far and above everyone else's. You can argue that she is the reason they've finished close to the top 10 in their invitationals in the midway through the season, and you can argue that she's the reason they got second at the Benbow Invitational. But not all to her credit, they're coached well, and this other player I'm going to bring up, she has had some good finishes this year too and has helped the team out, Anna Watson. Anna Watson has two top 12 finishes this season. That includes one top 7 finish at the Benbow Invitational. She was a great help there. So outside of Olivia and Anna, though, I'm going to be completely honest with you guys. It's not very deep. Our other golfers have had a really tough year. No one else has really finished in the top 10 or the top 20 even. So if you're looking at the MAC this weekend, look for Olivia Loberg and Anna Watson to lead EMU to a hopeful victory.
Nice. Well, hey, it keeps our focus on, you know, a couple players. But, hey, you got to have S-plus tiers first to win. So we'll see what happens in the coming season. I don't know if they're seniors or juniors or whatever. But let's talk about women's basketball. We had some interesting signings. So I kind of wanted to bring these up, break these down real quick. Because, Caleb, you know me. I love talking women's basketball. Because, like I said, I've always felt like they're the closest to winning the championship. Now, they dropped an absolute egg in the MAC tournament, but I still think they're really good. So, first player from Redford, Michigan, so technically homegrown, LaShelle Austin, two-time captain at Wayne Memorial High School, on the varsity team. She was teammates with Mikayla Griggs-Zeigler, who's on the team right now. She was teammates with her in high school. Got a little Ariana Combs-Sonara Skeins action going.
Yeah.
Miss Austin averaged 12.6 points per game, 3.4 assists per game, and 3.3 steals per game. And I wanted to bring in, by the way, all these statistics and quotes come from the Eastern Michigan Women's Basketball official website for your listening pleasure. So this is what Coach Castro had to say about LaShelle. Quote, LaShelle is an offensively gifted basketball player that can score at all three levels. She's a natural scorer that we identified early and had the opportunity to watch grow from her freshman year until now. LaShelle can get hot from deep with the ability to make multiple threes in a row and carry her team. She's learned to use her shooting threat in order to get to the rim, finish with her other hand, blah, 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 coach speak, coach speak, coach speak. Basically, what he's saying is, I like her shooting. And Caleb, you and I know, in today's basketball game, you can never have too much shooting. There's a reason why J.J. Redick, even though he's not the best defender, there is a reason why Duncan Robinson, they're both in the NBA and they both play at a high level. Because they can shoot the ball. Mm-hmm. Now, this is women's college basketball, but the same rule applies. Mm-hmm. So I love that. I love shooting. We had a really good offense, but it was inconsistent. So the more the merrier when it comes to reigning from beyond the arc. And like,
that's exactly what I was going to say was, if you look back on our episodes on women's basketball this year, where we were talking about games where we lost, it was because of inconsistent shooting and scoring droughts where we couldn't get a bucket and we let teams go on huge runs or they came back against us. So that, in my mind, is great for this signing because, like you said, she shoots really well. Looking 3.3 steals per game, that is great. I know it's at the high school level. Hopefully that translates to college so our defense can just be absolutely tenacious. 3.4 assists, that's really good. She can get the ball to the other women on the team that are super talented. I think this is a great signing.
Yeah, absolutely. Second player, one of the more interesting players of the signings, Kendall Lewis, that's spelled K-Y-N-D-A-L Lewis, sister of Kendall. Courtney Lewis. So sister connection. Miss Lewis II was first team all district and all Kansas City Metro Conference athlete 2019-2020. So first of all, I know they're from Kansas, so fun fact, I actually know somebody from Kansas, but she averaged 17.2 points per game, really nice, 8.2 rebounds per game, and scored a total of 447 total points last season. I really like Courtney Lewis. She's very tough, very aggressive, and I'll take her sister too. And I have another quote from Coach Castro. Quote, we have known Kendall Lewis for 5 years with her older sister Courtney coming to EMU 4 years ago. As a freshman, she will come in with the physical attributes of a seasoned D1 athlete. Basically, she's strong. She has strength, power, explosiveness, which all immediately jumps out you as you watch her compete. The combination of strength and speed allows her to get to the rim at will with the ability to finish through contact. Kendall's also a knockdown shooter from behind the arc, which should be no surprise to anyone that follows our program. Yeah, go ahead.
So question, Luke, is she a center then? Because it says 8.2 rebounds, 17.2 points, or does she just play like a power forward? Does it say what position they're going to put her in?
It doesn't say, but I'm thinking from Courtney Lewis, you know, she's point guard. So I would assume that she plays guard as well. And the description to me, like, I could be absolutely wrong about this. I'm not going to lie. I should probably look at her Huddle account. But she sounds like a Russell Westbrook type player, which is what Courtney Lewis, I feel like Courtney Lewis could, that's what she's tried to do. But if Kendall Lewis is able to shoot even better, then that's just like the perfect point guard, because I love our point guards. They're really tough and aggressive. You've got Jenna Anna Carrico. She's strong and she's a dog. You know, you've got just all of our other guards. Natalia Pineda, she's very strong as well, very tough defender. I like strong point guards, and that's what Castro's going with here. You got any other thoughts, Caleb?
I think this is a completely great signing. It sounds like we're building a really strong team for next year.
Strong. Yeah. Third player on the board, Peyton Pinckney, three-time captain at her high school, the Woodland Hills Wolverines, averaged 13.7 points per game, 13.2 rebounds per game.
Dang, that averaged a double-double.
Yeah, she's pretty good. Forward, 5'10", 153 pounds. Castro loves his forwards. I know I just say he loves his point guard, strong point guards too, but he loves bringing in forwards, which is a great idea because it really gives the team flexibility, which is something I like. Because, you know, you saw last year they had Sinaris games sometimes playing the five. They kind of played with lineups a little bit, and I like this. If you, you know, you bring in somebody like Pinkney who's able to, you know, who's 5'10", able to play a couple different positions, hopefully. You know, I haven't seen tape on her, but I'm assuming she'd be able to do that. Something else that I realized is that Kylie O'Hara, I don't see her listed on the roster. She's someone who was kind of like this, who kind of played like a three stretch four and was able to knock down a couple shots. She only had one game where she hit like three threes. But I really liked O'Hara. So I'm sad to see her go. Yes. But it makes sense to bring in Pinkney in.
Completely. Anyone that averages a double-double, I want on my team. So, yeah
exactly.
It's good.
It's like,
good
pickup. And we will take you. And double-double? Yes, right here in the front. Yes, you're right. last but definitely not least, Madison Tillman, a 6'3 center. 12 points per game, 10 rebounds per game. Double-double.
Another double-double.
And 2 blocks per game. Nice. Nice. I really like this signing because, like I said, sometimes you had Sinaris Gaines playing the 5. To be more athletic offensively, and Sinaris Gaines, amazing defender. She's really great. She's just great everywhere. She's great in the paint. She's great, like guarding up front, like, you know, guarding players who are trying to post up. She's really good at that. So bringing Madison Tillman makes sense also because Autumn Hudson was a senior this year, but she has a super senior year. So she's going to be gone next season. So bringing in someone like Tillman, who's going to be kind of like, you know, again, I haven't seen Tillman play. I'm just making a snap, horrible judgment of her play style. And it seems like she's more of like a rim protector, kind of the same vein as Autumn Hudson, as opposed to Sinaris Gaines. Sinaris Gaines has special athletic talent. I don't know if Tillman brings that to the table. Again, snap judgment. Got any thoughts, Caleb?
She's 6'3 and averages a double-double, 2 blocks. Blocks are really hard for women in basketball. Not hard, but you normally don't see as many blocks for the women's side on basketball. So I think this is an amazing pickup, like you said, to fill out Autumn Hudson as she leaves in the next coming years. So, yeah, good pickup.
For sure. That's going to do it for the women's basketball update. Maybe we'll do men's basketball another day because that's exciting. We got players in the transfer portal. We got new team coach. Rebuild going on. Yeah, new coach.
A big rebuild everything. Coming. Don't expect the men to do much next year, but we'll see. But
big heckin' rebuild. But I want to give a shout out as our last kind of piece of this episode to women's swimming and dive. Now, full disclosure, I know absolutely nothing. I think the last time I swam in like an actual swimming pool was when I was like 12.
But, really, that long? Dang.
Well, actually, okay. I did go when I was like 15. I went to a swimming pool with some buddies and we just like hung out, you know, tossed a little dodgeball. But yeah, before that, I basically know nothing about swimming. But I wanted to give this team and one player specifically too a shout out because they, you know, they played great. So the name, Bethany Berger. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. She is a monster. Captures the 1 meter diving and 3 meter diving MAC individual championships. So big round of applause.
Yeah, I saw them there last week when I was at the rec. I saw that we were hosting the swimming and diving championship. So it's great to see that EMU took some gold.
Yeah, that's right. Hometown advantage. Freaking kills, crushing, kicking, kicking skulls in. She earned MAC conference honors, specifically diver of the year. Let's go.
Nice.
And that's awesome. Our head coach actually one coach of the year, so good for him.
Awesome.
Nice to see.
That's amazing.
Yeah, exactly. We're rolling in the
this was like advertised more because as EMU students, people, we don't get emails about this. We have to go looking for this information, whereas if the football team wins 3 games, we get 65 emails.
Yeah, and you know, and they're advertised everywhere. Yeah, I mean, like, part of it's just like, hey, that's where the money's at. But the other part is like, they won a championship. 2 of them. One person won two of them.
I know. Yeah, and we won coach of the year. Like, let us know, EMU. But keep going with all these great accomplishments that the diving team's got.
Yeah. So Berger also earned first team All MAC. And another swimmer, diver, I don't know how exactly to address her, Ellie Staver, earned second team All-MAC. Congratulations to the both of them. Now, our team finished sixth overall in the MAC championship results, but a stellar performance nonetheless from Miss Berger. So,
kind of like individual golf. We'll probably see Olivia go off individually in MAC titles this weekend, but the EMU golf team probably won't do anything. But Olivia, she'll probably show out just like Bethany did in swimming and diving.
It's written in the stars. Big round of applause.
Yes, that's awesome. Swimming great shout out. I'm glad they did great.
What was it? Kicking names and taking booty. That's the phrase.
Exactly. Yeah, whatever it is. Anything else, Luke?
Oh, yeah. No, that's all I got. Yeah.
Okay.
That'll do it for today's episode of The Factory Report. If you like what we do here, please consider subscribing on either Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Special thanks to producer Ronya for helping throw together this episode. From my creative cave, I'm Luke Grembin.
And from my desk, I'm Caleb Burlingame.
And we'll be back next week with a special NFL draft extravaganza blockbuster with Hayden Vassar, Nate Schmidt, Caleb, me. We'll be kicking booty. It's going to be amazing. This is
The Factory Report.